it occurred to me that for the first time now in the area of lung cancer, many of these new molecular therapies that had been a source of tremendous research and effort, you know, in the academic centers have now really become a standard of care or close to becoming that in the community. And I find that very, very exciting. And now as we hear about all these different choices we have in lung cancer, we are moving towards a point where the combination of these agents is going to be critical. And I think that the next step is going to be continued clinical studies, but clinical studies that involve measurements of initially tissue, because that's all we really have. But ultimately, we're going to have to correlate that tissue with something we can measure in the blood, some sort of serum marker, something we can do a proteomic profile on to make it more readily accessible and easy to do.
You know, it's interesting. You were one of the first people I interviewed when we started our lung series, and I think that was 2 years ago. And if you think about it, when we did that interview 2 years ago, Iressa was the TK inhibitor. There was nothing at that point on Tarceva. There was no bevacizumab. There was no EGFR mutation and a bunch of other stuff. That was 2 years ago.
Right. And, you know, it's funny. The field has truly changed. And I think you have to look at the progress. You know, it's been very much a stepwise progression. But I think Iressa did a lot for the field in that patients were treated. And it's from that retrospective data that a lot of what we now know about the mutation emerged. But now I think the pace has accelerated because now we have not just Iressa. Well, Iressa didn't actually make it in the phase 3 study, but now we have Tarceva. Iressa would still be used, by the way, if Tarceva wasn't available.
Right.
But now we have the whole spectrum of angiogenesis. And I think angiogenesis has become, you know, the fourth modality of cancer therapy, right up there with chemotherapy, radiation therapy, surgery. Angiogenesis is a field now. The inhibition of angiogenesis has really been shown with chemotherapy in numerous cancer types to be of benefit. And now really understanding how to enhance its effect, really try to tweak it a bit, you know, look at some of the new agents, the new combinations. We've really reached sort of an exponential phase now of clinical study in lung cancer and other tumors as well.
I guess the other thing I just flashed on is, if I remember correctly, when we talked 2 years ago, the only adjuvant study that was out there was IALT. Am I right?
Right.
I think you were using adjuvant chemo just based on the IALT study, but there were a lot of other people kind of wanting to see more data.
Right. Everything changed since December of 2 years ago. Now we're at a period where adjuvant therapy is the standard. We have a new drug, you know, Tarceva, which is in widespread use, helping a large number of patients and potentially able to help more once we understand exactly who to give it to in earlier stages of disease. We have an anti-angiogenic agent, Avastin, which has demonstrated positive data and supposedly should go through the regulatory cycle. And now we have all these other new agents with slightly different variations on these targets, you know, moving forward in development. And plus, the focus has now changed that lung cancer is seen as a disease where there are molecular factors, there are tissue predictors. I think not everyone, but more would be convinced that tissue is important, that we really do have the ability to even make the next leap. People can sense it because of the progress that has been made. And it's helping patients. So all the while, patients are being helped, and that's very satisfying for everyone.
Well, I look forward to a future interview where you say, remember that time we talked and I told you about this drug, Zactima, that was just coming out? Remember how it was just getting started at that point?
Hopefully that will be the case. And there are a number of different approaches. I think my personal approach and that of our group is to focus on different thematic areas. And I don't know that any one of these specific drugs will be the one that makes it, but I do feel strongly that something along these lines will. And the question will be, is the target right? Is it the right drug? Does it have the right pharmacology alone or in combination? But we're on the right track, and we're constantly getting more sophisticated in our ability to make earlier decisions because resources are limited, and we want to benefit the patients as best we can as we're doing these studies. And I'll just make one more pitch for clinical trials. I really think that now more than ever, one should look for clinical trials. And the thing that also impressed me now, as opposed to when we spoke a few years back, is clinical practices are really more than ever before in the lung cancer area doing the clinical studies. You know, it was always the case for some certain practices, but more and more to stay up to date and to really give the best therapy, I'm noticing that clinical studies are being done in the community. And that makes for a better clinical trial too in the long run.
Yeah, we've consistently seen when we do national random surveys of oncologists, around 3/4 are doing clinical research in their offices.
Right. That's the reason I always thought oncology is a great field, because of the ability to do research and practice. And, you know, you really have to stay current, and now more than ever. And it's amazing to me that really most oncologists now are familiar with some of the concepts of EGFR and angiogenesis, and they have to be because it's become the standard.
This concludes our program. Special thanks to our speakers, and thank you for listening. This is Dr. Neil Love for Lung Cancer Update.